It was bound for Mars but fell off course and remains trapped in Earth's orbit. If scientists can't make contact with the probe, it will likely fall to Earth in the coming weeks. David Green, NPR News, Moscow.
Boeing has won another major deal at the Dubai Air Show. Oman Air is ordering 6 Boeing 787 Dreamliners. Today's order follows a record-breaking $18 billion deal yesterday. Emirates Airline ordered 50 wide-body jetliners. This is NPR.
WCVE Public Radio HD. Brian Ford's financial analysis is made possible by Health Diagnostic Laboratory, a Richmond-based laboratory committed to saving lives and healthcare dollars through early diagnosis of cardiovascular and related diseases. Information at myhdl.com. Certified financial planner Brian Ford joins us from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. How are you feeling?
Well, a little rocky after such a volatile week. Can you spell volatility? Have you ever seen a week with so many major events and back-and-forth action on the markets?
Well, Wayne, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think much happened last week. Unless, of course, you're talking about the fact that the leaders of 2 European nations resign, Italy and Greece, a large investment firm, MF Global, in New York City failed, the largest county in Alabama went bankrupt, and an asteroid the size of an aircraft carrier just missed hitting the Earth. Now, okay, it missed by 200,000 miles, but let's face it, in space terms, that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, Wayne. Investors must be saying to themselves, what next? An asteroid hitting our planet? Be careful what you wish for, folks. Seriously, though, the stock market was up about 1.5% for the week in an extremely volatile week. And it was actually, Wayne, shortened by the fact that Veterans Day was Friday and the bond market was closed. The Dow Jones is now up 5% for the year, which is amazing. And the broader S&P 500 and NASDAQ are essentially unchanged, both plus or minus 1%. Clearly, though, as you're right, the day-to-day action is just consumed with what is happening in Europe and how they're going to resolve their problems and whether they're going to do certain actions and what actions they may take to protect the euro and resolve their debt crisis.
A lot of the news this morning about the Congressional Super Committee and whether it will meet its deadline. And the fact that it has been pretty quiet and not any activity reported leads for a lot of uncertainty, which everyone hates.
I think that's right, Wayne. I think we do need to talk about this super committee in Washington. You, of course, will remember this is the 12-person bipartisan commission created by the president last summer during the U.S. debt negotiations. Their deadline to report new cuts in spending is next Wednesday, November 23rd. That's only 9 days away. Basically, if they do not do anything new or different, a pre-existing package of cuts will go into effect. Okay, so let's unpack this whole thing a little. It's classic D.C. Beltway stuff, Wayne, full of closed-door negotiations and no doubt deal-making like crazy behind those doors. One thing that the committee, as you say, has not done is they haven't leaked any indication of their end result, so Wall Street and Main Street really have no clue which way this one will go. That uncertainty and the possibility of yet another downgrade of the U.S. debt has got markets, frankly, on edge. Basically, markets will likely react well if the cuts are deeper than expected, and it appears that real progress has been made. If the automatic cuts go into effect, which basically means the committee did nothing, you may see a negative sell-off. And if they split the middle and offer some small cuts and basically, as we say, shuffle the deck chairs, markets will likely be, fairly neutral on this. But in the days leading up to the deadline, you can expect legislators potentially affected by cuts in their home sectors to speak out as to why they favor cuts, just not in their backyard.
We have about 2.5 minutes left. Well, as you mentioned, the biggest county in Alabama, Jefferson County, which contains the city of Birmingham, declared bankruptcy. And, a while back we were talking about how municipal bankruptcies might become commonplace, but actually I think there have only been 2.
Well, that's true, Wayne. Three. There's one smaller county in California as well. But let's hit on this bankruptcy of Jefferson County, Alabama.
Okay.
As mentioned, it is the most populous county in Alabama. And as you say, Birmingham is in this home site. Jefferson County joins Harrisburg, PA, as the two largest U.S. municipalities to declare bankruptcy, though the legality of the Harrisburg issue is still in discussions. The Alabama bankruptcy apparently could have been avoided if about $3 billion in debt load had been restructured, which is code in our world for pushed out, further, or just forgiven. You're right that last year at this time, Meredith Whitney, and a financial analyst, went on 60 Minutes, basically with very dire predictions that most U.S. towns and cities would go under, or at least their municipal bonds would be worthless. Those fears have not been realized. Despite the examples of Harrisburg and Jefferson County, Alabama, municipal tax receipts are up consistently for the last six or seven quarters, and the expectations of further bankruptcies is declining quarter by quarter and year by year.
Just over a minute left. Japan is recovering much faster than expected from the tsunami and the earthquake they experienced earlier this year.
Yeah, two quick data points there, Wayne, from Asia. Japan GDP was up 6% for the third quarter, which is much better than people had expected. The recovery from the tsunami has progressed rapidly. The concerns remain about the strong yen, which is crimping some exports, and also the Thailand floods have been hurting many industries, including auto manufacturing, which is, of course, very key to Japan's health. In China, though, a little downbeat, the trade surplus in October widened, which basically reveals a slowing in demand for certain Chinese exports. Is that because of Europe's continued slump? Maybe. Basically, China's GDP continues to be very strong, about double ours or more. The worries remain very cheap money, rising real estate values, and potentially bad loans, which basically sounds like the U.S. about 5 or 6 years ago.
Brian, our time's just about gone for today, but next Monday will be the Monday before Thanksgiving. I want to ask you to do your annual analysis of the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner, okay?
I'll be glad to do it. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management. It's 840.